Known for his unique ability to simplify profound truth so that it can be applied to everyday life, Adrian Rogers was one of the most effective preachers, respected Bible teachers, and Christian leaders of our time. Thanks for joining us for this message. Here's Adrian Rogers.
Take God's word, turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. I want to talk about a steadfast church. Because you see, this church will be under attack. Now that ought not surprise you. It's very clear that we will be under attack. The door to the room of opportunity swings on the hinges of opposition. Now when you try to say, we're going to do something in the name of the Lord, you're going to raise up the ire of the devil. This church has an enemy. He is the devil. The Bible calls him a deceiver, a liar, a murderer, an accuser, a tempter, the destroyer, the evil one. All of these speak of the same person. He, like any criminal, he has many aliases. But he has one purpose, and that is to come against you, your family, and corporately to come against this church. And he's very good at it. The Bible speaks of his methods in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. There the Bible calls that the wiles of the devil. The Greek word is methodia. It means the methods of the devil. He is methodically set about to ruin your life and to stop the work of this church. Not only does the Bible speak of the wiles of the devil, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible speaks of the devices of the devil. And in 2 Timothy 2 verse 26, the Bible speaks of the snares of the devil. Now put his character together with those words. Think about the wiles. Think about the devices. Think about the snares that Satan wants to bring against this church and against you. Now, I've taken the book of Nehemiah, and I hope you have your Bibles open in Nehemiah chapter 4. I have taken the book of Nehemiah as a template that we can study to see how Satan would try to stop any work for God, because Nehemiah was attempting to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem that had decayed. And somehow, in a very wonderful way, the Bible tells us what the devil did to stop Nehemiah, but he did not stop him, and what Satan will do if we would allow him to stop the work of Bellevue, which he shall not, will not stop. Now, what Satan has tried before, Satan will try again. Now, let me give you the background. The Jews had been carried away into captivity. During that time, the city of Jerusalem had fallen into ruins, and the beautiful walls around the city had crumbled, and Nehemiah's heart was broken. He wanted to go back to the city of God and rebuild the walls. And when he wanted to go back and rebuild the walls, Satan wanted to stop the work. And Satan raised up two men, one named Sanballat and the other Tobiah, who were agents of the enemy to stop Nehemiah from building the wall. Now, what does that have to do with us? Well, in today's society, walls of decency have crumbled and decayed, and walls of conviction have crumbled and decayed. And we have a job, you have a job, all of us do, to rebuild the walls. We are wall builders. Now, when we say, let's rise up and build, the devil will say, let's rise up and stop them. Now, I want you to notice seven of the devil's devices, seven of the devil's dirty tricks. And he does have some dirty tricks. I heard about a man in the last political campaign. Somebody did a dirty trick on him. They sneaked into his office and let all of the air out of his speeches. What a dirty trick. Well, I want to talk to you today about what Satan is going to do to Bellevue, how he's going to attack Bellevue. First of all, Satan will attack this church with derision. That is, he'll try to make us a laughingstock. Now read here in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the walls, that he was wroth, that is, he was angry, and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. I'm going to stop right there. He mocked the Jews. That is, he ridiculed them. He made them a laughing stock. And may I tell you today that if you take a stand for the old-time religion, you're going to be mocked. Did you know that? You're going to be laughed at. There will be derision. We're going to be mocked, but we're not better than Jesus. Did you know that Jesus was mocked? They laughed at Jesus. Mark chapter 5, verse 40 says they laughed him to scorn. Luke 22, verse 63 says, when they were beating him, they mocked him and smote him. Luke 23, verses 35 through 37 says, and the soldiers, when he was on the cross, also mocked him, offering him vinegar to drink. Now you think about it. When he was doing miracles, they laughed at him. When he was being abused, they jeered at him. When he was on the cross, they ridiculed him. Now you know better than the Lord Jesus. And if you stand up for Christ, you're going to be mocked, you're going to be ridiculed, and a church like Bellevue that has a high profile is going to be ridiculed. But not only are we going to be ridiculed as a church, you're going to be ridiculed as an individual. If you live for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are a college student today on a secular campus, you stand up for Jesus, I'll promise you, you're going to be mocked. Is that not true? You may be a godly wife married to an ungodly husband, and he'll make fun of your faith and ridicule your faith and mock your faith. You may be a businessman trying to live the principles of Jesus in an ungodly society and business world, and they will laugh at you. Now, what did they ridicule here? Well, first of all, they ridiculed the feebleness of God's people. Look at it there in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 2. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Who are these people? These weaklings. What do they think they're doing? Now, the world puts an emphasis upon military strength, physical strength, intellectual strength, societal strength. But they look at us as weaklings. They're really not much afraid of this church or anything else because they think of us as being kind of feeble. In the eyes of the world, that's true. God says concerning the world, that they look at us, not many mighty are called. And so they laugh at our feebleness. But you see, strength can be disguised. Nehemiah was not feeble. Really, he was very strong, but outwardly, he looked feeble. I heard about a man who applied for a job as a woodcutter, a lumberman. And he was about 110 pounds, about 5'6" tall. And they said, this is a man's job. You can't be a lumberman. You can't cut down trees. He said, oh, yes, I can. They said, well, prove it, and gave him an axe. Said, cut down that sapling. He said, wickety-whack, and the sapling fell. Well, I said, well, okay, but that's a sapling. Try this bigger tree. Wickety-whack, that tree fell. He said, all right, try this great big tree. Wickety-whack, down it came. He said, that is amazing. Where did you learn to chop down trees? He said, the Sahara Forest. He said, you mean the Sahara Desert? He said, yeah, now. Appearances can be deceiving. I want to tell you, a church with God's power on it is not feeble. We are mighty through God. But not only did they mock the feebleness of God's people, they mocked the futility of their task. Look, if you will, in verse 2, where the last part. Will they revive stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? I say, you guys can't do this. Here the walls have been burned, the stones are buried under garbage. You just can't do this. You are daydreamers. You know, the world wants us to think we can't do anything great. They want us to have an inferiority complex. And they say, not only are we feeble, but our task is futile. And they also mock them for the foolishness of their faith. He says there in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 2, will they sacrifice? Are they really going to worship their God? And the world thinks what we're doing today is foolishness. They think you are making a colossal waste of your time when you attend and a waste of your money when you give. Will they sacrifice? Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them which perish foolishness. Now, you show me somebody who mocks at the Bible, mocks at the cross, mocks at the Word of God, and I'll show you somebody who is wicked. The Bible speaks in the last days of scoffers who are walking after their own lust. They have the devil's initials carved in their heart. They're covered with the slimy fingerprints of sin. Now folks, people mock at our sacrifice. They mock at our worship. Now, beware when all men speak well of you. If you've not been laughed at for your faith, there's something wrong with you. Ever since I became a Christian, I have been mocked for my faith. When I played football, I was mocked by other teammates for standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what should you do? Well, just remember that you know better than Jesus. And just remember, if you're laughed at, don't be laughed out of work for God. To the contrary, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, that when this comes, when we are persecuted, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Listen, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Go home and have a party if somebody laughs at you for serving the Lord Jesus Christ. For great is your reward in heaven, and the greater the ridicule, the greater their reward, your reward. Now, not only is Satan going to come against you with derision and try to laugh you out of a work for God, but Satan will also come against you with discouragement, and Satan will attack Bellevue with discouragement. Look, if you will, in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish. Now listen to this, so that we are not able to build the wall. Now the sad thing is that it was Judah, the dominant tribe, that said this. They said, we're not able. Our strength is gone, and there's too much rubbish, and we can't build on rubbish, and we can't build without stones that are buried in the rubbish. It just can't be done. God have mercy on us when there are those who discourage us and say it can't be done. They're doing the work of the devil. God is the God of all consolation. That means all encouragement. There's a gift in the Bible called the gift of exhortation. That is to encourage. And we need to encourage, not discourage one another. And so many times this discouragement comes from within. Human wet blankets. When you try to do something big, something great, something glorious for Jesus, they will say it cannot be done. I pastored a little church when I was in seminary on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi, a little town called Waveland. And I went back and forth from seminary, made a 60-mile trip one way and back to go to school and pastor that little church. Well, that church was a very small little building. It was a little barracks building. Maybe it would seat crammed 100 people. And had maybe a membership of 50. And I pastored that little church, and I wanted it to grow. And I knew that it was limited, number one, by lack of space. But we had no money, we had no leadership. The people, we had no real mature Christians members of that church. And no one with a real vision. Well, I went to Nashville and got a plan for a church building, looked through a little book and found a plan for an educational building. And so we could have restrooms and a nursery and a little dining hall, a little fellowship hall. And so I got those plans, and I couldn't get anyone excited about them. No one thought it could be done. So I got me two buddies, two young men, teenagers. I got three shovels. We went out there in the hot blazing sun with those three shovels and began to dig the footing for that building. No money, no encouragement, And one of the ladies in that church, whose husband was a building contractor, pulled up in her big car, and she looked at us and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "We're digging the footing for a new building." She mocked, and she said, "It will never be done." At that moment, I knew it would. At that moment, when she said that, I said, "Yep, we're on track." Friend, I want to tell you, that building is there today. Now, there are people who will discourage you and try to discourage you, but you don't let them do it. And the discouragement comes when the job is half done. Verse 6 says, the wall was joined to the half. You know, any of us can get all excited when we just begin a work. It's like trying to climb a mountain. Halfway up, you decide it wasn't such a good idea. About halfway through life, you get what is called a midlife crisis in your business, in your marriage, and "I do" turns to "you'd better." We get discouraged sometimes. You buy a new car and it smells so good and so forth, but when it's about half paid for, then you get discouraged again. Friend, the devil will try to discourage you. They were discouraged because of their fatigue. The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. They were discouraged because of the problem of frustration. All of these stones were down there. But Nehemiah encouraged them, and may God help you always, always, always to encourage your children, encourage your mate, encourage your brothers and sisters here in the church. We are able to build whatever it is that we are building. Now, here's the third thing Satan will do. If he cannot get you to stop with derision and discouragement, the third thing that he'll bring against you is dismay. Satan is going to attack Bellevue with dismay, with fear. Look in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 11. "And our adversary said, they shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease." Now, Satan's not always dainty. Sometimes Satan will shed blood to stop the work of God. He may shed your blood. He may shed mine. In the last days, the Bible says, those who kill you will think they do God service. And you cannot be intimidated by physical intimidation. Should not be. The Bible says, in nothing be terrified by your adversaries. I could tell you of the death threats that I've had against me. And all I've known to do is to carry them to the Lord. A particular specific death threat. The sheriff said, "There's a man down there on his way to kill you." So we're trying to intercept him. We just need to let you know. I was in my office. I went over. I had a Bible there where I keep it open to Psalm 119. Because I'll read a word from the Word before I come out to preach many Sundays. And so I said, "Lord, I want a word from your Word." And I walked over to put my finger on a verse in what I thought was Psalm 119, and it was in Psalm 118. Here's what the verse said. "You shall not die, but live and declare my word." I said, "Well, amen." Amen. Now, friend, sometimes we do die. You say, "Well, if we die, did Satan win?" No, Satan failed. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Do not let Satan laugh you out of work for God. Do not let Satan discourage you out of a work from God. Don't let Satan frighten you out of a work for God. Now, what did Nehemiah say when these people said, "We're going to kill you"? Well, look, if you will, in verse 14. "And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them, remember the Lord." Is that not great? What is the answer to fear and dismay? Is to remember the Lord. A little boy was given to fear, and he said, "Daddy, how big is the devil?" He said, "Well, I don't know." He said, "Well, is he bigger than I am?" His dad said, "Well, I suspect he is." "Well, Daddy, is he bigger than you are?" He said, "Well, he could be. Daddy, is he bigger than Jesus? And Dad said, no, he's not bigger than Jesus, son. Little boy said, then I'm not afraid of him. Remember the Lord and resist him. Notice in verse 18, the Bible says they took a sword and a trowel. They're building and battling at the same time. And that's what the child of God is always doing, building and battling at the same time. But remember the Lord. Don't be terrified by your adversaries. The Bible says in the book of James, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Have you ever thought of Satan fleeing from you? You say, well, I'm not afraid of the devil. The big question is the devil afraid of you? He will flee from you. Now, what did they do? First of all, there was derision. They tried to laugh them away. Secondly, there was discouragement. They tried to get them to quit. Next, there was dismay. They tried to stampede them, but they kept on working. And Satan's going to try all these things against Bellevue. Number four, Satan will attack Bellevue with discord to try to get a division in the church. Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. Now here a furor had begun. Here was a fuss among the people, a discord. You know, the Bible says God hates him that sows discord among brethren. I've told you before, the devil had rather start a church fuss than open a porno palace on any day. Never, 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 never be a part of discord in a church. Well, there are times when you have to stand for things. There are times when points have to be made. But you do it in the right purpose, the right spirit, at the right time. I generally read a verse of scripture before I go to bed at night just to kind of meditate on it. Saw one the other day in the book of Proverbs I'd never seen. And it says, a wise man causes strife to cease. And it says, any fool can start an argument. Isn't that good? A wise man causes strife to cease. Any fool can start an argument. If you're wise, you'll always be a part of the solution, never part of the problem. Now, in this particular case here in Nehemiah chapter 5, it was over money. So many times in a church or in a family or between friends, the problem is over money. And many times those who say the most about money are those who perhaps are the poorest stewards. I heard of a church, a small church. You know, every small church has its self-styled watchdog. And this man who thought he was God's appointed and anointed person to keep the church straight opened a broom closet, and there were 5 brand new brooms in that broom closet. Oh, he was upset. He went to the janitor and said, "Why? What are we doing with 5 new brooms at one time? We're not even meeting our budget. 5 brooms at one time." Janitor said, "Well, I don't know. Maybe there was a sale on brooms." The man went to the pastor. He was still irate. He said, "Look, that I just don't like the way we're handling the finances here in this church. That's not good stewardship. 5 new brooms at one time." Well, the pastor tried to placate him. Later, the pastor was having coffee with the church treasurer, and he told him about it. And the treasurer just smiled and said, "Now, pastor, that's easy to understand. How would you feel if you saw everything you'd given to the church in the past year tied up in 5 brooms?" Amen. It was over money. It was a discord over money, but they solved the problem. I want to tell you again, there are no problems too big to solve, just people too small to solve them. Do you believe that? Number 5, Satan is going to attack Bellevue with distraction. Look now in chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. "And it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. They were saying, let's just have a little love-in. But it wasn't going to be a love-in. Old Nehemiah was too wise to leave the wall and go out to the plains of Ono. And so he says, but they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them in the same manner. Now, if Satan cannot come against the church as a roaring lion, and his fear tactics didn't work, then he'll try to come as an angel of light. And he'll say, if I can't beat them, then I'll join them. Let's have a little love-in. Hey, Nehemiah, come on down from the wall, and let's just go out and talk. And Nehemiah said, there's mischief in the making. I know it. I'm not going to come down from the wall. You know, the devil wants to negotiate with us. And sometimes it tickles our ego when that happens. I heard of a bear hunter who wanted a fur coat, and he wanted a bear fur coat. So he got his gun and went out in the woods, and he spotted a bear, was ready to pull the trigger. The bear held up both hands and said, now look, don't shoot. Don't shoot. Said, let's come out here in the middle of the road and talk this thing over. Put your gun down and let's talk. So the man put the gun down, and the bear said, now let's be reasonable about this thing. What you want is a fur coat. Is that not right? The man said, that's right. And he said, what I want is a good meal. Can you understand that? The man said, yes. And you know, when it was over, the bear had a good meal and the man had a fur coat. It's what the devil wants to do. He wants to distract us. He wants us to come down from the wall and get out there and somehow get away from our purpose. What is Bellevue's purpose? Why do we exist as a church? Bellevue Baptist Church exists for magnifying Jesus through worship and the Word, for moving believers in Jesus toward maturity in ministry, for making Jesus known to our neighbors and the nations. Folks, we're doing a great work, and we will not come down. Now, there are a lot of things. Yeah, give God a hand if you want to do that. We will not come down. And so Satan tries to derail us, to distract us. We must keep on serving the Lord and keep our eyes upon the Lord. You know, it's so easy to get distracted. I see pastors sometimes turn from their calling. I'm going to tell you something. And there's a God in heaven who is listening. I'd rather be a pastor than to be the president of the United States. I mean that. I'd have to step down. Not that there's any danger of me being the president. But I'd have to step down, to step out of the high calling of God which He's put upon my life. And many times I've faced distractions. But I've kept my eyes upon Jesus, not upon anything else. And I intend to continue to do that. Don't let the devil distract you. Some of you women, you have little children, and God has given you these precious babies, and you get distracted, and you leave your motherhood to go out there and get a job in the world and leave those little babies in the care of somebody else. Now, I want to be very careful here. My heart goes out, my hat comes off to mothers who have to work to put food on the table, shelter overhead, and to do those things that are necessary to keep a family going only so long as they have to do it, and then they quit. But I'm telling you that any mother who lets the devil distract her from being a mother, perhaps the highest calling on earth, to step down and come from the wall is making a poor, poor decision. Don't let the devil distract you and bring you away. Some of you who are Sunday school teachers, used to be Sunday school teachers. Some of you who used to be deacons, some of you who used to serve on committees in this church, you don't do it anymore. Do you know why? You've gotten out into something else that may be good in your own sight, but it is not what God called you to do. We have members of our church now who are joining societies and clubs and causes and so forth. In themselves, not bad, but they have come down from the wall to do something else. I don't know why, maybe flattery. They become the first vice president of the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Grandmothers with Athlete's Foot. And so they come down from the wall. You need to be a part of this church with all of your heart, every inch, every ounce, every nerve, every fiber, and don't let the devil distract you, and we will not let him distract this church. Now, next, the devil's dirty trick is he'll come against Bellevue with defamation. He'll defame us. Look, if you will, in chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. You know what an open letter is? That's like a letter to the editor. You want everybody to read it. Wherein it was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel. That is, you're going to build your own little kingdom. For which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king. Nehemiah, you're on an ego trip. You're on an ego trip. You don't really care about the walls of Jerusalem. You don't really care about the glory of God. All you're doing is trying to build for yourself a little kingdom. Now, they will defame you. They'll criticize your motives. They'll say, well, you go to that church for business reasons or whatever. I had a football coach. I wouldn't practice on Sunday. He told his psychology class, he said, the reason that Rogers won't practice on Sunday is that he wants to get out of practice. He's using religion as a crutch. Well, I finally got nose to nose with this coach about that. But there are people who will impugn your motivation, why you do what you do. And they will try to defame you. They accuse Jesus of being a wine bibber and a glutton. Never, ever listen to any defamation, any slander about a child of God. You make certain that if you hear anything like that, that it is not in the mouth of one witness, but more, that it is true, and be very, very careful. Here's what they were trying to do. They were trying to say, now, this Nehemiah, he doesn't really love God. He's building his own little kingdom. He has another purpose for that. Don't let people use your ears for that kind of garbage. A little girl who heard the Lord's Prayer, she was 3 years old, didn't quite understand it, but she prayed it back, and forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive others who put trash in our baskets. Don't let people put this kind of trash in your basket. Now, there are those people who will do just like they did to Nehemiah. They'll try to defame you. I heard of a pastor who was doing a good job in his church, but two men out of the church came to him and said, Pastor, we think your work is finished here. We think it's time for you to retire, and we think your work is finished. And well, the pastor was not an old coot like I am. He was a young man. He was doing a good job. And they said, no, we think you need to retire. He said, well, I'll tell you what, gentlemen. I will pray about it. You come back next week, and I'll tell you what God says. They came back next week and said, well, what did God say to you? He said, God said he'd never heard of you two men. There are those who will impugn you for wrong motivation. Now, I'm going to close the message there. But these are the devil's dirty tricks. The Bible says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. For this is the heritage of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord. Now, what I want this church to be when I step aside, I want it to be, number one, a unified church. Number two, a steadfast church. And you say, by God's grace, we'll stay on the wall. We are not coming down. We're doing a good work. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, today is the day that you need to receive Him. You need to step from a life of darkness to a life of light, from a life of fearfulness to a life of faith, from a life of condemnation to a life of salvation. Jesus has suffered and bled and died for you, and I promise you on the authority of the Word of God, He will save you today. I mean really save you, not just make you a nicer person. He'll save you. He'll give you a new nature. He'll transform you. He really will if you trust Him. Now, you're not going to sprout wings and get a halo, but you will have a change of nature that will help you to grow into the grace and likeness of Jesus Christ. Believe that Christ paid your sin debt on the cross. Believe that He is the Son of God, risen from the dead, and put your trust in Him. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Would you pray and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart, forgive your sin, be your personal Savior? And will you do it this morning? Will you? Father, I pray that many today will say an everlasting yes to Jesus Christ. In His dear name, oh, in the name, your name, Savior, I pray. Amen and amen.
If you would like to learn more about how you can know Jesus or deepen your relationship with Him, simply click the Discover Jesus link on our website, lwf.org. For a copy of this message or additional resources, visit our online store at lwf.org or call 1-800-274-5683. Thank you.